kind of have a good life down here, but I know I got a better one waiting for me there. Amen. Had some good times with some good friends and done some great things. But praise God, ain't nothing going to be like when we get to heaven. Amen. And I just appreciate that. Turn in your Bibles tonight with us into John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. Y'all need to be praying for church. Seems like everybody's sick or something's going on here lately. And a lot of folks been out with sickness and things. And just keep lifting one another up in prayer. Amen. You never know what somebody's going through, what they're dealing with in their life. Amen. And just haven't said anything. And just don't want people worrying or concerned or things of that nature, but they're going through things, so just lift them up in prayer and pray for them, and just pray that God would just have his way. We want to encourage the church tonight, and maybe this message is one that should be preached in a morning service to encourage others that need to hear and need to get a burden and get a zeal and get a desire for the Lord. But I'm going to read a few verses. I was only going to read one tonight, but I think I'm going to back up in John chapter 4 into verse number 19. We'll begin reading there. I was going to read just verse 23, but I think we need to back up just a few minutes. The Bible says, "The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Our Father, we thank you tonight for this privilege to be in your house. We thank you for your word, its truths, Lord. And we pray, God, tonight that as we look to it and as we read its truth, Lord, it would speak to our hearts and our lives, Father, and would just do that that is needed to draw us closer to you, to help us to be more faithful, and God, just to uplift and give glory unto you in all that we do. Father, we just ask you to help us each one tonight, Lord, just to be obedient unto you, obedient unto your word, and just to submit ourselves unto your will for whatever you would have us to do tonight in our own personal lives. Now, Lord, just bless us as only you can do. Visit with us, Lord, and just stir our hearts, Father, for we love you, and we want you to be here. We want your presence, Lord, and we just want to worship you in spirit and in truth tonight. And, Lord, just have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. Wednesday night in the men's group, we was talking about this somewhat and talking about things of this nature. It's just alarming when you look around today and you see the number of churches that are without pastors, and you got preachers that are sitting in churches that won't go and take on these churches, won't take on the pastorate. They're more interested and more concerned in having a title and being called to somebody than they are doing something that's going to glorify and honor Christ. And we see churches that don't have pastors and they don't want pastors, because if they have pastors, then they become accountable unto someone. And as long as there's not a pastor there, and I got a visiting preacher this week and a visiting preacher next week, it's pretty easy just to do whatever you want to do and not be condemned and not come under the condemnation of the preaching unless God begins to stir hearts and lives. And so many of the ones that pass through so many of these places, they're not aware of the problems like a shepherd that is there watching over God's heritage and God's flock would be. So there's no accountability, and people have a I don't care attitude. And then we have people that attend haphazardly in the services when they come. We have many on Sunday morning that attend in our churches, and our Sunday morning services can be filled, but come back on a Sunday night or on a Wednesday evening, and you wonder where everybody's at when the church is almost empty. Just look around you tonight, folks, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's time for folks to get a grasp of the reality of what the church is all about, and why it's here, and why we come out together, that we might worship God. The Bible says right here, as Jesus is speaking, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. How's that? He seeks those that want to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But He also, as we read through the gospel, we find some things that help us and just bring us home and bring it back to where the rubber meets the road, and what it's going to take to worship Him and to do it in spirit and in truth. And John, I think John the Baptist, I believe back in chapter number 3, probably hit the nail right on the head more than anything else that we can think of, because it encompasses it all in just one simple phrase that he spoke. In John chapter 3 and verse number 30, John said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Amen. When we learn to exalt Him, and we learn to put Him first, and we learn to make Him foremost, and we learn to see Him for who He is, and us for who we are, then we will truly be able to worship in spirit and truth. We'll truly be able to get our hearts on fire, our hearts in a desirous place, and our wills broken down and submitted and surrendered unto Him. We'll deny ourselves. We'll crucify the flesh and the old man, and we'll begin to just look at Him and see Him as He is, but see ourselves for the needy people that we really are. Isaiah in chapter 6 said, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, "I seen the Lord high and lifted up." But then I think it's down in verse number 6. He says, "But then I said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of unclean people." Folks, we really need to realize, we need to really see ourselves in the way that God's word shows us that we need to see ourselves. We exclude ourselves, and we look at everybody else, and it's everybody else that needs it and not us. It's everybody else that has the problem, but not me. But praise God, when I begin to see me in His light, when I begin to see me in His presence, when I begin to see me and standing in front of Him for and who He is, on His throne, high and lifted up, I begin to realize, woe is me. Amen. And you know what? I will never truly worship God until I get to that place in my life that I see Him for who He really is. High and exalted. When I see Him in my mind's eye and in my heart, the King of all kings, the Creator of the universe, when I look at all the things that enthrall me and draw me unto them, and I realize that these are just the things that He's made that my life might be blessed, I begin to see Him in a different light. River's nice. Run up and down the river and have fun. All kinds of fun. Nature is beautiful, and it's pretty to go and hike and to look and to ride motorcycles and to go out for a cruise on a Sunday and just see all the beauty that God's made. And I have people, "Well, I like just to go out in nature and see God's hand." No, you don't. You just want to go serve yourself. Because if you wanted to see God's hand, and if nature and God's provision and God's beauty and God's creation meant that much to you, you'd want to be at the house of God worshiping Him. You'd want to be in spirit and in truth, honoring the one, amen, who has created it all. And not only do we need to exalt Him and need to put Him in the place for where He is and for who He is, we need to accept Him for who He is. If you turn back into John chapter 4 to the end of the chapter, we read the account of the nobleman who had a son who was dying. He was sick and he went to Jesus and he asked Jesus to come and to heal his son and to come and just to do something for him. And the Bible says in verse 48, then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my son die. And Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. I don't know, the Bible tells us this was after the miracle that Jesus had performed in Cana of Galilee at the wedding when he turned all the water into wine. And many times Jesus has a problem with people just thronging to him, not because of who he is, not because he is the Messiah, not because he is the Son of God. He's God with us, Emmanuel. He's God in the flesh walking amongst us. Not because of the majesty that should be surrounding him, but they were there because of they wanted to get something. Jesus said, you know, it's applicable today. Jesus said, unless you see a miracle, unless you see signs and wonders, unless you see some great thing happen, you don't want anything to do with me. The problem in our churches today, it's not, let me come to worship God, but let me come to see what I can get, what's in it for me. Well, I'll tell you, if you come to worship Him, amen, you'll find out there's something in it for you. Amen. But unless you got entertainment here, you can't get folks into the church house. Amen. I tell you what, you bring some big name group around and you can fill the church up. Amen. How about a big name God? Amen. How about a God whose very name is worthy of all glory and honor, is worthy of all that we have? Amen. You can't bring your kids out for a Sunday night service, but praise God, let some kind of entertainment be going on. Let us entertain your kids, and praise God, you can fill the house up with kids. Amen. On a school night. Hey, it is what it is. Amen. God said, Jesus said, He's speaking right here. He said, the time has come when men will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And God the Father, He seeketh such that will do this. I mean, folks, it's time we get our frame of mind changed to the church house. It is a place where we come because we want to get. The church house is a place where we come to give our praise and honor and glory unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's where we gather in one mind and one accord to worship Him. Amen. But it's not that way anymore. It's not that way unless we're being entertained. Unless there's something in it. Templeton the rat. I think when you look up Christian in the Bible, there ought to be a picture of Templeton the rat, because that's the way most of them act. How many know who I'm talking about? Templeton the rat. You ever seen Charlotte's Web? Remember the rat? What's in it for me? Everything. What's in it for me? That's the way we become. That's the way as Christians we become. Well, you know, I'm glad he's a healer. Praise God, because I've experienced His healing. Amen? Anybody here can testify to that? I'm glad He's a provider, because in my life He's made provision for my wife and I. And before that, as a child my whole life, He's made provision for me in every way. Praise God. I'm glad He's a comforter. I've lost loved ones and I've lost friends. And it's been through the comfort of the Lord that I've been able to cope with the losses in my life. Praise God. He's been a supplier that has made sure that every one of our financial needs has always been met. Praise God. I'm glad He's a provider. I'm glad He makes sure that my needs are met. But you know what? More than that, He's God. Amen. Amen. He's God. He's worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy to be praised simply because He's God. Amen. Not because some group come by. Not because some fancy name preacher come by. Not because they had a program. Not because they was given something away. But praise God, He's worthy to be praised simply because He's God. Amen. You know, we just got to the place where everybody is expecting something other than what He wants us to have. He said, God is a spirit. They that worship God will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Man, we want more than just the Lord swinging by our way and plucking on our heartstrings and stirring us and letting us know that He's inhabited the praises of His people. We want more than just to know that we was in the very presence of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings as we spoke His name and as we lifted Him up and as we recognized who He is and what He's done and His love and compassion for us. I don't know. We want more. What more is there? When you got Him, you got everything. Amen. When you got Him, you've received it all. When you got Him, when you got the very best, there's nothing else but we want to satisfy. And we want to feed the flesh. We want to make sure that this old carnal man is satisfied. This old carnal man's taken care of. Praise God. I've come to the house of God feeling so bad that if I'd been most church members, I'd have stayed at home. Amen. If I wasn't a pastor, I wouldn't have been here. Just be honest with you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But praise God, just because I was here, I was blessed. Just because I was here, He showed up. And His presence stirred my life. And I left back out of here, and I felt just as bad after I left as I did when I come. But praise God, let me tell you why I was here. It was good. While I was here, it was real. While I was here, I realized that it isn't about this old flesh, but praise God, it's about my spirit and my soul being stirred by the presence of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You know, Jesus asked His disciples, He said, "Who do men say that I am?" You know, everybody's got an opinion. Everybody has a reason for seeing Jesus the way that they see Him. Finally, Peter said, "Lord, You're the Messiah." Amen. You're the Christ, the Son of God. You're the one that we've been looking for. Amen. Isn't that who they were looking for? The Christ, the Son of God. Amen. He said, "That's who You are." I don't know who you come looking for tonight, but I know who I come looking for. Amen. I don't know what you come looking for, but praise God, the only thing I come looking for tonight is a touch from on high from Him. And if I don't get anything else, just knowing that I was in His presence, that's enough for me. Because I come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what the Father, I think God's getting sick and tired. Amen. of all that a church is a place where people come and say, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And that's all we hear, any give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. We pray, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Amen. Ow, I know. It hurts. But it's the truth. And I'm pointing my finger at every one of you, but look here. Amen. It's a two-way street. When's the last time we come and we just prayed and give Him praise and thanks for what He's done? When's the last time you prayed a prayer and you never asked the Lord for anything, but you just thanked Him for all that He's done? We don't. It's, Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. Yeah, Templeton, there you go. Amen. Our Templeton mentality. Satisfy the flesh. And He does. He loves us. He spoils us. That's one thing I thank God for. I said, Lord, I thank You for supplying my every need. But God, I thank You for spoiling me the way that You do. You give me so much more than I deserve. You give me so much more than what my daily provision and my daily need is. Lord, I'm blessed, and I'm blessed, and I'm blessed. And I thank You for spoiling me. We need to get a little more exaltation going on. Amen. In our lives. If we would exalt Him personally, and we get in the habit of exalting Him personally, and stop just asking for things and just glorify Him personally, can you imagine what's going to happen when we come together collectively to do the same thing? Amen. If you go away from a church service 99% of the time, let me just put it this way, 99% of the time, if you go away from a church service and you say, I didn't get anything out of that, or you go away disappointed, or you go away all down in the mouth, it's nobody's fault but your own. And I don't care if it's some dynamic preacher. I don't care if it's some mediocre preacher. I don't care if it's some poor preacher like me. I don't care if it's just one of them little old Poindexter type preachers. It's not about the preacher. It's about the one he's preaching about. And I tell you what, have you ever heard Brother Donnie Farmer preach? He'll never raise his voice. And he'll look at you outside them glasses. And he'll speak to you just about like this and just about in this tone of voice. But I tell you one thing, he will mesmerize you and you can't take your eyes off of him. You want to hear, then you sit on the edge of your seat just anticipating what's coming next. He's so awesome because he's uplifting and he's exalting and he's preaching about the awesomeness of God and what God has done and what God can do. And praise God, I tell you what, if we could collectively come together and have that frame of mind, we would never leave the house of God and say we was disappointed to be here. God seeketh such to exalt him. He seeketh such that's going to accept him. Just because he's God for who he is, not because of all the things that you can get from God. But he said right here in verse 24, God is a spirit. Verse 23, he said, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It don't matter where you are. Amen. You can worship God. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to go to Samaria. But praise God, you can worship God in your car going down the road. Amen. You can worship God in the bathtub. Praise God. You can worship Him anywhere. Because they that worship God are going to do so in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And praise God, if we would let that truth sink home in our lives, if we would let that truth sink home when we come to the house of God, if we would let that truth just sink home, praise God, our lives would be a little bit different. Our lives would be a little brighter. Our darkest days would cheer up a little bit. Our greatest problems would just seem to melt away because we begin to see him for who he is. We accept him for who he is, and we worship him because of who he is. And it don't take money to worship him. It don't take a fancy edifice, a building that's gold gilded and all that to come in to worship him. He said, he's a spirit. And they that worship God are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. And you know what the truth is? He's always going to be God. And you're always going to be you. He's always going to be God, perfect, sinless, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's always going to be God. He's always going to be God, immutable and unchangeable. He's always going to be God. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's always going to be God. He's always going to be God, and God will never be wrong. But you're always going to be you. And the last time I looked, we're all made the same way. We've all been fashioned from the dust of the earth. Every one of us are a living, breathing individual, because God has given us life. He's given us purpose. He's given us a heart and a mind to know good and evil, and to discern right from wrong, and to make the choices that we choose. And because I know that, and because I know me, I kind of know you. And I realize that in who I am, I fail him so many times. In who I am, I disappoint him. I've seen fathers that have named their firstborn son after them, and was so proud of their children when they were babies, because they were such and such and such and such junior, and they were proud of their son and proud of the child, and the child grew up, and the child turned out just to be no count and no good. And I've heard dads tell me time and again, I wish to God I had never named that child after me. They have been such a disappointment. They have run my name down wherever they've went. Because I'm me. The disciples, the followers, the born-again believers were first called Christians at Antioch. And I carry his name. You carry his name. The truth is, sometimes I think God has to look at us and say, I'm so ashamed of the choices that they've made, the decisions that they made. See, I see God in truth for who he is, but I see me in truth for who I am. I fail God every day. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. He said, I got to keep my flesh. He said, I got to keep it under subjection and in submission. He said, I've got to keep after my body to keep it where it needs to be. See, the truth of it is, we fail God so many times. But yet He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The truth of it is, if we would spend as much time praising God, spend as much time in our life honoring God and worship Him and uplifting Him and just exalting Him before the world as we do satisfying this flesh, what a difference it would make in our lives. What a difference it would make in our testimony. What a difference it would make in our relationship to the Savior. The psalmist said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let us come and let us bring the sacrifice of praise unto Him. Let us come and let us worship Him with a pure heart and a pure vessel that He might fill it. And the only way that we can have and possess a pure vessel is to bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to empty it out. I'm going to give it all to You. I'm going to confess everything. And Lord, I want You to clean it up and make me a vessel meet for the Master's use, that You might fill me with Your Spirit and use me to Your glory." And then see what He does. See what He does. Folks, what's missing in our churches today is truth. And the truth is, most people just don't care. Most people just don't want to do what is necessary to worship the Lord. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to the backbone of the church tonight. But you know what? Sometimes we get weary in our worship. We get weary in our spiritual walk. Apostle Paul said not to be weary in well-doing. But folks, if the backbone gets weary. Ask Brother John how his whole body feels just because his back is bothering him. If the backbone isn't invigorated, if the backbone isn't recharged and regrouped, if the backbone isn't staying plugged in, then what's going to happen to the rest of the church? What's going to happen to the world that looks upon us? Peter said, if the righteous scarce... Now listen at this. Verse that is very real to me. And I think about quite often. If the righteous scarcely make it, where stand the unrighteous and the unbelieving? The righteous scarcely make it. The ungodly, I think it is, and the unbelieving. What chance do they have? Folks, we need to get Jesus as the primary focus of our personal lives. We need to get Jesus as the primary, and I believe here everything we do is to uplift Him. And I tell you all the time, if it's not about uplifting the Lord, we don't need to do it. If Tabitha's pantry just becomes another welfare program and it's not about uplifting Christ and leading souls to Jesus, we might as well shut the doors over there. We're just wasting our time. It's all got to be about Jesus. But you know what? It starts with each one of us as an individual. In spirit and in truth. And God is seeking such to worship Him. Stand at your feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one.